Welcome to Tribulation News with your host, Dr. Elizabeth Motke. And today, I have special guest, Fritz Springmeier, and he knows a lot about the Illuminati. On that note, I have questions for him, and you may have heard him recently when he was interviewed by me on Blog Talk Radio. So please feel free to check that out if you'd like to as well. I do have a website at tribulationnews.com, and I'm on the air 5 days a week, and sometimes 6 days, especially when I'm on BBS. So, on that note, welcome to the show, Fritz.
Well, thank you. And hi to all your listeners.
Thank you. Obviously, not a lot of people know who you are, so can you please give the audience a little bit of your background and what fascinated you about the Illuminati?
Yes, I am an author, wrote 7 books on the Illuminati. I began exposing them in about 1990 and had done a lot of research prior to that time. I also spent quite a few years working with people that had been in the Illuminati, and my efforts were directed to helping them escape the Illuminati and break the mind control programming that they were under.
I believe it. And there's just so much going on with the news intensifying and the birth pangs increasing. It's absolutely exciting, and for those who don't believe in Jesus, for them it'd be extra scary, obviously. But for those who don't know what the Illuminati is, can you explain that to them, please?
Yes, actually, for those who subscribe to the Word of God and take it at face value, they already have the framework to understand what I'm talking about. It talks about in 1 John, that the whole world lies in the control of the evil one. And it also talks in Psalms about how all of the kings of the earth conspire against God and his elect. And it talks about how the wicked are prowling on every side, and that Satan is the god of this world. So much so that he was able to tempt Christ with offering Christ all of the kingdoms of the world. If we look at Revelation 18, it talks about how the kings of the earth are conspiring together. This is describing for us the framework of the Illuminati. They are families, they are bloodlines, generational satanic bloodlines that have created our world system and have run it for thousands of years. There's no point in history where we can look back and say that the elite that were running things all of a sudden got tired of running the world and said, you know what, we're tired of being in control of things. We're just going to step down and let the serfs and the slaves, the little people slaving away that are uneducated and not well kept. We're just going to turn over running the world to them. It never happened. They were the ones that created our world system, and it's come forward from antiquity. For instance, our fractional banking system goes all the way back to ancient Babylon, and it came forward from antiquity through Venice and then Bruges, London. So you can look at a continuity there through history as these people have continued their power. Of course, during the American Revolution, the American people thought that we were going to overthrow that kind of tyranny, and we were going to return power to the people. And that's one of the things that my Bloodlines of the Illuminati book shows, is I go back and I did genealogy research, and I show how even though we won the revolution, our presidents still go back to these powerful bloodlines. And I have a genealogy chart on one page which shows how 25 of them are closely related. So we thought that we broke loose of these bloodlines controlling us, but in reality, they just went underground.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. And now it seems like they're putting their plans right in front of us. And yeah. Through the alternative media, of course. And yeah, it's all in our faces. Because it used to be very covert, and now it's very overt.
That's true. There's a combination of things that have been going on since I started exposing the Illuminati. They themselves had a plan which they described as externalization of the hierarchy. Anybody who wants to can get Alice Bailey's books. She wrote quite a few books, and including one that's entitled Externalization of the Hierarchy. And that book talks about how they're going to set up this world order, how they're going to set up a world religion. Yeah, she says on the earthly level, it'll be Lucifer that's ruling, but on a spiritual level, it will be Satan. And although she scrambles the name Satan as Sonnet, but she was a very important person. She set the educational goals for the United States back circa 1960, and she created in the neighborhood of 115 New Age groups, and she was into women's branch of Freemasonry, and she was the leader of the Theosophical Society. So she was a heavyweight player, and she spells it out in her book that they're going to externalize. They're going to take what was done in secret, all of these secret hand signs and all of these rituals, and they were going to externalize it into our culture, our society. And if you look, if you're watching hip hop and modern musicians out there, you will see lots of them doing Illuminati symbols. You know, like they like to do the one eye thing, and they like to put their hands over their eyes with a pyramid, so they're making an eye in the pyramid and different things like this. So while they were externalizing themselves, trying to externalize themselves in a positive way, people like myself were exposing them in a negative way. And so synergistically, they've become known to the public. In fact, the younger generation, they think that the word Illuminati is something that they know about, but the older generation don't. So I have experienced when the word Illuminati is said around younger people by an older person, they start to laugh because they think it's their word. You know, they don't know that the older generation knows it. It's like their inside secret.
That makes sense. Yeah, it's interesting of how they have perpetuated and degraded our society, our world as a whole, and infiltrated the education system, just every aspect of it. It's amazing how they have fulfilled everything they wanted to fulfill, and now it's about to reach its peak, and next month could be the peak when it all goes down. But, wow. So, for the people who do not know, what are the 13 bloodlines of the Illuminati?
Well, as God had his 12 tribes, and then one of those tribes, Joseph, was split up. Joseph actually was the youngest, but he got the double blessing. It's so typical of God to surprise us as to how he gives the blessing, you know, Esau and Jacob and so forth. He surprises us. He gave the double blessing to Joseph and split the tribe of Joseph into Ephraim and Manasseh. And then when we go to Revelations, we see that the tribe of Dan in the list of tribes has been dropped out. So there's still 12 tribes, but it's because the tribe of Joseph was split in two to give them a double blessing. So the Illuminati, in using the pattern of God, they set up 13 families or bloodlines, you could call them tribes or whatnot, that have special status. And your question, to answer it specifically, you have the following families: Astor, Bundy, Collins, DuPont, Freeman, Lee, Kennedy, Onassis, Rockefeller, Rothschild, Russell, the 13th bloodline, which is actually the Merovingians, which actually is the holy bloodline, which makes up all of European aristocracy and royalty. They all connect to that one bloodline. And then the Van Dyne family, and very powerful families up there at the top are also Reynolds and Krupp. And I think I mentioned the Lee family. If I didn't, as I was giving that list, the Lee family, which is a Chinese Illuminati family, is also one of the top 13. And the Illuminati in China are being granted ascendancy as far as economically and politically here in the coming years. So we're going to see more of them. One of the Illuminati's kingpins, Wingen, very rich man in the world, and also sits on the Central Committee for the Chinese Communists.
Do they all have a special role that they play, each bloodline?
Yes, to some degree. They've been given spheres of influence. There's a committee of 300 in Europe that makes a lot of decisions. And so they will say, okay, such and such bloodline is going to be allowed to have this monopoly, or we're going to, you know, it's like mafia families. They get in there and compete and bargain and jostle against each other. But when it's all said and done, they work out some kind of arrangement. It's like, you know, the mafia families who used to control Las Vegas. You know, certain families were allowed, and rather than wipe each other out in wars, they sit down and they say, okay, you can control this sphere, we're going to control that sphere. So you see that the Rothschilds are the most powerful financial family. You see the Collins are a powerful spiritual family. You see the Russell family involved in the creation of a lot of religious organizations like the Order of Skull and Bones, the Watchtower Society of the Jehovah's Witnesses, helped found the Mormons. So you see a Russell's involved a lot in founding things. You see the 13th bloodline, like I mentioned before, involved in the things that the aristocracy and kings and queens get involved with. So they have their different spheres of influence that they work in. But that doesn't mean that they're limited to that. You know, you'll see the Rockefellers involved in oil, but then you'll turn around and see the Rockefellers also involved in religion a lot. They through their foundations and so forth, they supply money to all kinds of things. In fact, you know, back in the 60s, people that were out in the streets protesting were surprised that they were being funded through Rockefeller foundations. That's a good place to stop that answer.
That's fine. I noticed today with with Steve Quill's site that he had a Q alert that the founder of Facebook, that he goes by Mark Zuckerberg. That's not really his real name. I believe it's John Greenberg, if I remember correctly. And he is in the line of the Rockefellers. And the Rothschilds also benefit from his Facebook as well. And the whole purpose of Facebook is just to gather information on people to officially use against them for this new world order that they're running. So, I don't know. I just thought that was fascinating because I knew that there was some kind of connection, but I didn't know what until I saw that today. But interesting. What do you think?
Along the lines of what you're talking about, here a few months ago, I purchased a book. Might have actually been more than a few months ago. I purchased a book from Greenpeace, and they were documenting how California is controlled and run by the corporations. But my research takes things a step further. Who's controlling those corporations? There's interlocking directorates. There are certain people that have the controlling interest of these corporations. And when you go back and look at that, you start discovering these families, just like the Federal Reserve is a private corporation. And when I was out speaking, for instance, for Prophecy Club, I gave my Prophecy Club talk in 14 big cities. And in the talk, I had an overhead picture, which was New York Times article back when the Federal Reserve got started, where they actually listed the original stockholders. And you look at these names like Morgan and so forth, you see Illuminati family names. And so that's the next level beyond the corporate control, are the people that are controlling the corporations, which is really actually a very small number of people. Most of the decisions, the important decisions made in the United States, come from in the neighborhood of like 6,000 people. That's all. I mean, I'm talking about all the important decisions. So it's a small network of people that know each other and actually belong to the same secret society, the mother of secret societies, the most hidden, the one that's most dear to Satan, that he's blessed. He's given his people, he's told them that if they would serve him, that, you know, he would give them power and riches.
That's true, just like he tempted Jesus with. Yeah. Is there significance to the DNA and the bloodlines?
You know, some people think that there's various versions. There's a seed line theory. you know, that Satan had sex with Eve, or Lilith got involved, or, you know, that the seed of Cain is actually got DNA from a fallen angel Lucifer, or we talk about the Nephilim coming down, you know, and interbreeding these fallen angels interbreeding with people. So there's a lot of people that think that the Illuminati DNA is actually different from the rest of us. It's interesting theory, but as far as I can tell, it's just that. I mean, I certainly see that the scriptures, and I'm a believer in the Word of God, it's very clear that the scriptures say that fallen angels mated with women, and that they're going to be doing that again in the end times. And indeed, people in the Illuminati that have come out of the Illuminati, across the board, they talk about a breeding program where fallen angels are breeding with Illuminati women to create a hybrid race. But to make a blanket statement that they're all the seed of Satan, I haven't seen any proof of that. And until somebody would be able to go through and look at the entire DNA, the entire genetic makeup of these people that are in the Illuminati and us, there's no way to verify that their DNA is any different than ours.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I noticed too that such as Michelle Obama or Oprah, they have six toes on one foot. And does that mean that they're a part of the bloodline too, or they just their family mated with the Nephilim? I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
These are good questions. They're questions I don't know the answer to. I mean, definitely Obama is bloodline. And he's, but you know, Obama, and I'm probably going to get some flack for this, but I'm just being open about the way things work. Obama catches a lot of criticism and flack, but people need to realize he's just the front man, you know, for the people that put him in power, and the decisions that he makes are really made for him. And when you realize that he's just a front man, then you realize that he's, and granted, you know, that doesn't make him any better, but, it makes us realize that, criticizing him is not really going to help anything.
Yeah,
the world is to be the world. You know, we can't expect the world to be anything but the world. I mean, it'd be sort of like criticizing Satan for being Satan. You know, he is what he is. And we have to remember that what he does for evil, God will mean it for good. He can turn everything towards good. The life of Jesus Christ is evidence to us that God can do that, because here we see an example of the most perfect man, an innocent man, cruelly tortured and killed, and God took what appeared to his disciples as a disaster and turned it to the most meaningful, wonderful thing that's happened for mankind. So that's proof that God can take what was meant for evil and he can do a flip on it. So we need to keep that in mind.
That's true, because in the end, all of us who believe in Jesus, we will win this evil battle that's going on this earth now. And, you know, because of what Revelation says. And that's the victory right there.
Yes, exactly. So I've had some people that have said to me, you know, Fritz, I've been watching this thing, and it looks to me like the Illuminati are the winners, and I want to be on the winning side, so that's why I'm going to join the New World Order. And unfortunately, they just don't get it spiritually, you know, and just my own life alone, you know. Like I say, I began challenging the Illuminati in 1990, I mean publicly. I'd been researching and doing some a little bit of speaking against the system before that, but in 1990 is when I began publicly doing this, and a lot of things have happened to me, but the fact that I'm still here, the fact that I'm still speaking and writing, still out here encouraging people to move forward in a positive way, that shows that God is active and alive, because many times God has had to come to my rescue. And I would not be here. I can honestly say if the hand of God had not been on my life, I would not be here.
Amen. Wow. That's a powerful testimony right there for the audience. Wow. And I'm sure all of us that follow Jesus have a powerful testimony too, because, I mean, it's neat just to see how God works in the life of an individual. And how he prepares us for all of what's coming and how he uses us. And he is very active in this world. And he doesn't get enough credit like he should because of all the evil that's running rampant. But he's working. He is working, that's for sure.
Yes, I have an interesting story to tell. I have hundreds of interesting stories, but just plucking one out randomly, so to speak. I was doing street witnessing for about a week, just going up to people and sharing Christ, how they could find Christ and salvation, giving them the plan of salvation if they were interested, and putting in a lot of effort and work and prayer, but getting nowhere, you know. And a lot of people were telling me, you know, it says in the Bible, God helps those who help themselves. I'm like, what? It doesn't say that in the Bible, you know. But everybody would reject things because they would say, well, God helps those who help themselves, so I'm helping myself, which is not what the word says. But at any rate, at the end of a week, I had to move on. I had to leave, and I was only hours within. I only had a short time before I would leave my hotel room. And there had been some people that had been walking along the beach for miles, and three men, they had been talking to each other. God had softened their hearts, and they wanted to give their lives to Christ, but they didn't know how to do it, and they needed to find a Christian. And they needed to use the restroom, so they came in by accident, you might say, or divine accident. Let's put it in perspective here. They came into the hotel where I had my hotel room, and I guess I and my Christian brothers that shared my hotel room, we had stirred up such a negative reaction that people had written negative comments about us on the bathroom walls. So when they came in to use the restroom, they saw the derogatory comments about us Christians. And so they asked the manager where the Christians were, and he told them what our room was. So they knocked on our door, and when I opened the door, they said, we want somebody who can help us come to Christ. The point I'm making is that I had made myself available, but God showed me that he would sovereignly do what he needed to get done. And that's so true in so much of what we do. I wrote these books exposing generational Satanism, and then I was framed. I was put in prison, and while I was away in prison, supposedly out of the way, God sovereignly did a lot of work with my material. My material, my books, now belong to the world. That those seven books I wrote on the Illuminati belong to the world. He took and popularized or spread the message of those books all around the world while I was in prison doing nothing. So we make ourselves available to God, and then we see Him sovereignly work, and it's neat. It's a neat thing to watch. So people should never feel discouraged that they're not getting results in their life for doing good, because we do what's right, and then God is our effectiveness, and He will honor our commitments.
That's right. Not a lot of people know what mind control is. Can you describe that for the audience?
That's a question that, honestly, the Illuminati mind control is a subject that I'm going to answer the question, but I'm also going to put a disclaimer in that a question to answer that question is something I don't like to do, because I can't do justice to the question. The Illuminati have created a type of mind control. They've been doing it since antiquity, and I had the privilege of being the person to expose this to the world in detail. This mind control is a total mind control, and it's easily a million times beyond what people, the listeners, are thinking, unless they've read my books. The reason why it's so powerful is they have taken every imaginable type of mind control that you could ever imagine and that's ever been invented, and they have put these different types of mind control together in a group package. So maybe this one method only works 60% of the time. This method works 60%. This method only works 70%. On and on and on. But when you put them together in a very sophisticated, well-engineered package, you lock the person in totally. And the foundation of this Illuminati mind control is trauma-based mind control. It's called trauma-based because typically they will take a child at 18 months and they will heavily traumatize that child, and they will create what used to be known as multiple personality disorder. They changed the name a number of years ago back to dissociative identity disorder, DID. But personally, I think MPD, multiple personality disorder, is a more descriptive way of saying it. They shatter the mind into a lot of dissociative pieces. And then the programmer knows how to go and find those pieces, and they program those various pieces. So what looks like a person has actually been turned into a city of people that are programmed. Something that's an analogy, it's interesting because a very similar type of thing went on within Christendom. We had the body of Christ, and then Satan came in and divided the body of Christ. He divided it up, split it up, traumatized it, and created a lot of denominations, and then programmed each of those denominations so that each little piece has their own little programming. So a very similar analogy. In fact, very few people realize how many thousands of Christian denominations there are. You know, we use the word like Baptist or Presbyterian, but there are many different kinds of Baptists, many different kinds of Presbyterians, and many different kinds of Catholics. So there are an incredible number of denominations, and they each have their own little piece of the puzzle.
You're right. That's very true. How does Billy Graham and Franklin Graham fit into all of this?
Boy, you're not timid, are you?
Nope.
Well, we discussed Billy Graham last time I was on your show, and the bottom line, and I mean, I have gotten this from numerous unimpeachable, reliable sources. Billy Graham is a 33rd degree Freemason. He was set up in his crusades were set up by Illuminati money, and he has been working for the Illuminati. There's a lot of things that he has done over the years that if people would just look at what he's done, they would realize how unchristian-like he's acted repeatedly. Some of the things he said are just shocking. Like publicly, he's on record as saying, you know, if the Bible wasn't around, I would like to use Mao Zedong's writings. And and I'm not going to get on into a long-winded expose of him. I wrote an expose of Billy Graham. I had a document packet in my Be Wise as Serpents book in 1991, where I go into some documentation on him. And then later in some of my other books, I believe it was the Formula book, I gave more documentation on Billy Graham. And then Dr. Kathy Burns, she followed up what I had done with a book exposing Billy Graham. So there's information out there if people are interested in seeing that. Publicly, what he's done publicly should be enough to wake Christians up. You know, he's been very active in the World Council of Churches.
We are back on Tribulation News with special guest Fritz Springmeier. We have discussed a lot already, and we just got into talking about Billy Graham and Franklin Graham. So with the presidents, what I don't get, those, are they all Freemason, and how are they all chosen to be the president of the U.S.?
Well, the process of selecting them is, boy, if I tell the exact answer, it's, you know, learning is a step-by-step process, and to come out with the actual answer is going to be such a slap in the face for people that, you know, a lot of this stuff I have learned step-by-step over many years, and then to throw it out all at once is really probably disconcerting to the listener who hasn't had a chance to process the evidence. But we don't elect, nor do we select our president. In fact, the Illuminati have 10-year plans, 20-year plans, 40-year plans, and already on something like a 40-year plan, they're already thinking ahead. Okay, what do we need in terms of a president 40 years from now? What kind of
people do we need to start grooming for this? And they will already have candidates that they're grooming 40 years before they become president. When they're little, when somebody who was close to Bill Clinton told me that, what was it? He was around 6 or 7, somewhere in that age, when they told him that he would become, that he was a candidate to become president. And he thought the whole idea was ludicrous. But they will start grooming that person. They will start, well, that's the best word to give an overall feel for the training and how they steer the person's life, how they open up opportunities, how they meet the right people. You know, Bill Clinton met JFK when he was young. So they start the shaping process. And they start opening up the right doors and doing what they need. And so it's a process. And they will also, because they're working off of a world script, Satan is a control freak, a real control freak. People think that God's the control freak. God is the one that gave us freedom of choice. God's the one that lets us accept him or reject him. But Satan is a real control freak. And so the scripts that he run, if they're going to stick someone in as president, they need to have doubles of this person. So they will even go so far as to having doubles. Like Adolf Hitler had doubles. You know, Churchill had doubles. And so they have, like George Bush, he had doubles. And, So it's an elaborate thing. It's much more detailed and elaborate than people would comprehend. And then, of course, they put them through the paces of going out on the campaign trail and giving their campaign speech repeatedly and going through the motions, because it's important that the American people think that we're responsible for who they have selected. And then, you know, we blame ourselves for whatever happens.
Wow. That makes sense, because it seems like it's been rigged from the very beginning and everything's been a lie. So, wow.
That's what you expect from Satan's world. Christ said he's the father of all lies. Basically, if you look at Christ's statements about him, he basically said, if Satan's lips are moving, he's lying in some way, you know, and he's passed down his traits to his minions.
That's true. Yep. So in what ways are we seeing the destruction of our country that you've noticed?
Well, we're being destroyed. We're being spiritually and financially bankrupted. And it's sad to see it. You know, there's been a hard residue of solid, godly people in this country ever since its foundation. I think that's been one of the one of the solid positive traits about America has been, there's always been this solid remnant that hasn't bowed their knee to Baal, that's been loyally faithful to their creator. And God has blessed America in different ways, but as we've gone through the history of this nation, you'll see that he's taken a step by step to become more degenerate. You know, you'll see things that were unspeakable that people wouldn't even think of doing when I was a child are now done out in the open. And you can just go back and look at the movie industry, and you can see how things are sliding into moral degeneracy. And so that I consider one of the most destructive things that they're doing to the United States, because how we are in our relationship with God affects so many other things in our life. It affects our health. If we are right with God, we will take care of our temple, which is our body, and God will give us the wisdom on how to do that. You know, Christians, 70 years ago, for instance, when the world was having ads about how healthy it was to drink Coke and cigarette and smoke cigarettes, hardcore Christians knew that cigarettes and Cokes were not good. You know, they didn't need to have medical evidence. Spiritually, they could, you know, they could. It was a no brainer. And so taking us down spiritually is going to affect us in a lot of other ways. Another way that they're destroying us is financially, and that's the Illuminati plan. It's like when your computer doesn't work well, you shut it down and you turn it off and reboot it. Well, they're rebooting the world's financial system. They're going to collapse their own system that they have made and control, and they're even going to suffer on the surface. But their power and their money is deeply entrenched. So when they reboot the system, when it comes back up, when the financial system comes back up, they will have wiped out all their competition, everybody who's not Illuminati, and they will be in control of things totally again. Plus, they want to take down the United States. The American people have too much independence. There's a couple of ways that we have independence. One is we're very mobile, and another is we're independently wealthy compared to the rest of the world. So we're going to lose some of our mobility, and we're financially going to be destroyed. American dollar it's intended by the Illuminati that the American dollar will end up in hyperinflation, or really bad inflation, in the next few years, which is one reason why you see our government spending money. You know, you may have heard the joke. There's a hot dog stand selling hot dogs for $500, and then somebody goes, "Well, who would buy a hot dog for $500?" The Pentagon, you know. So our government is spending money intentionally to weaken the dollar.
That's very true. Is there anything else on how America's being destroyed?
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
There's no end to the bad news here. they intentionally created a drug culture and a drug war. They use wars to socially engineer us. And so they had a meeting at Iron Mountain, and you're probably familiar with that. The paperwork got smuggled out so that we know the paperwork from the meeting and the results. And what they concluded was we're going to have a period where we're not going to have shooting wars, but we still need to have the benefits of having a war, you know, because during a war, people give up their freedoms. So we've got to have alternatives to a shooting war. So there are alternatives where things like the drug war and the war on terror. And so they have been destroying the fabric of this country by playing both sides against the middle in the Illuminati, with the government helping them, or I should say rogue elements within the U.S. government, because I don't want to paint the whole entire government as black, but there's definitely rogue individuals that are working for the Illuminati that help smuggle in the drugs. I talked personally to two different pilots that worked for the CIA, and both of these men didn't realize to start with that they were flying drugs for the CIA. And when they realized that they were flying drugs in their planes for the CIA, they quit. And of course, the CIA ended up blackballing them, sending them to prison, ruining their lives, on and on, so they paid a price for loving their country. But, you know, you think about, like here in Portland, the drug of choice now has stopped being methamphetamine and is now heroin. The Mexican mafia is running heroin up the I-5 corridor, and Portland's one of their delivery sites, and they've pushed back the little local meth cookers, and now we have a rash of people ODing on heroin. It's a really nasty drug, and it's become very widespread in its use here in Portland. And behind the Mexican mafia, I can tell you, because I know this firsthand from working with people that had been in the Illuminati and watching the way things went down, and the Mexican mafia is fronting for the Illuminati. They're doing the dirty work. So this is quite often the case around the world, is you have gangs and things like the Mexican mafia who will do the dirty work for the kingpins that sit behind them.
That's very true. That is so true. There's a currency war going on, and trade wars are starting, and for long it's all going to be hot. Worldwide. Yeah. So obviously we're beginning to get into bondage here in America, if not already been in bondage for a while. Are you there?
Well, we live in the world, and I just want to remind people, the world is going to be the world. You can't expect the world to act like Christians or like Christ. In fact, it's probably difficult to expect a lot of so-called Christians to act like Christ, you know. So they're going to continue doing what their God of this world asks of them. And, you know, the creation, as God created it, which was good, is now full of all kinds of deficiencies. And it's a snowball effect, you know, as creation's being destroyed across the board. Food is being genetically altered. What they call food, by and large, is really not healthy for us. You know, they poisoned the topsoil. There was a book, Toxic Harvest. There was a woman mayor of a town not that far from here in Washington State, and she had a lot of children dying of cancer in her city, so she started investigating, and she found out that since World War II, what's been going on is that any company that had industrial waste, as long as there was one element within that industrial waste that could conceivably be beneficial to soil, you could sell it as fertilizer. And fertilizer companies have been selling stuff around the world that's been, the ingredients have not been labeled on the fertilizer packages. So they will find one ostensible ingredient that's supposed to be helpful to the soil, and they'll sell this industrial waste. Well, they have been secretly selling stuff from like Hanford, radioactive nuclear waste, there have been toxic chemicals, and they have actually poisoned the topsoil of this country by selling these toxins for the last 50 years under the disguise of fertilizer. So it's way worse than people can even imagine. And so they've destroyed our food supply. And you might ask, well, why would the world want to do that? It's because Satan hates God's creation. Satan hates man. You know, he would love to destroy man. He's jealous of man. He was given dominion over this planet, and then God set man up in place and gave God gave Adam dominion, and Satan's been insanely jealous since then and been on a course to destroy us. And basically, if you look at the Illuminati agenda, it's a non-human agenda. It's a genocidal agenda. That's why you can see wars like World War I and World War II being created, these horrible things. You know, that's why you see something horrible like in the Balkans when Yugoslavia broke up. You see genocide being practiced by various sides, where they just go in and do some horrendous things. This is because that's the way the God of this world wants to run things.
You're right. That's exactly what it is. Let's see, one more question. Two more questions, technically. How do you recommend the listeners prepare for all of what is coming?
Well, the scriptures talk about the armor of God. And I know some people consider that, you know, when they read that, they're not really thinking that he's giving something practical. Maybe he's just giving us a picture, you know, that helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. That armor of God that he's talking about there, go back and read that, people, because that armor will actually function and work. I have seen it in my life actually protect my life. And so we need to be shod with salvation. We need to have righteousness. We need to have truth. We need to have hope. We need to have joy. These are all components or facets of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we need to have the Holy Spirit in our life is another way of condensing it down. In other words, we need to have God in our life, if you want to rephrase it. But we have God in our life. You know, have you ever noticed when somebody's so repugnant, you're like, maybe, man, I don't want to be identified with that person. I don't know them. You know, well, God kind of can do the same thing with us. If we want God in our life, we need to repent and we need to come under him and we need to be in fellowship with him so that he feels comfortable being there in our life. And so that involves finding out what sin is. It involves applying the blood of Jesus Christ to our life and moving forward knowing that God is good. We need to have faith. It says in the Word of God that faith overcomes the world, and by extension, faith overcomes the new world order. So we need to move forward in faith. How do we have faith? We have faith by believing and knowing that we serve a good God. Our God is good. You know, I can testify to that in my own life. I've gone through as much as anybody has, and yet still I can say that God is good, very good. We serve a good God, and we can relax and have faith in him. I would call it blind faith. A lot of people don't want to hear that term. But what I mean by that is we can't
we can't rationally think through the answers to everything. We just have to move forward knowing that God's in control of things, and he's a good God that loves us more than we love ourselves.
That's right. Very well said. I completely agree. Do you have any closing thoughts for our audience?
If anyone's interested in learning some more about the subjects that we talked about, you know, I'd encourage them to go to my website, because I've said some pretty astounding things. You know, I talked about mind control, which is an incredible subject. I talked about Billy Graham being working for the other side and not being what he appears to be. And if you want more information on these kind of topics, I suggest that you go to pentracks.com, and that's my blog, that's my website, where you can see my some of my books that are still available. And that's spelled P-E-N, like you would write with a pen, pen, P-E-N, tracks, like a bunny rabbit makes in the snow, T-R-A-C-K-S, pentracks.com. And you can get more information if you're interested.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And have a great rest of the week, and hopefully it's not too cold there.
No, we're having relatively decent weather. So, yeah, blessings to all of your listeners, and you too. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you too.